It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
She got a lot to talk about, Lauren Brownlow. Let's go. Brownlow, what's going on,
Lauren?
How you doing this morning?
Hey, y'all. Good morning.
You staying out of trouble?
Well, you know, day to day on that front.
Oh, my
Lauren,
goodness.
You got to help us today. You got to help us. You got to help me, Lauren.
Don't be asking for no help now.
Uh-oh.
Don't be asking for no help now.
Oh, no.
Brownlow, I'm going to start right at the top. I'm going to start right at the top because I know you love Leonard Hamilton for Florida State University.
Yes.
Talk about that win and this team that Lenny's putting together down at Florida State.
I got to say this. Like, Florida State's always a tough place to play. I think it's the stat now is they've won 47 out of their last 51 ACC home games. Mm. That's pretty remarkable when you're not Carolina or Duke or, like, a Virginia even, you know? Mm-hmm. And they tend to be an afterthought after all those teams, and they've just quietly done this over the years. It was a little rough at the beginning of the year mm-hmm. for Florida State. I think they're young. They're young a lot, but I think, like, young this year, like, in a way that Leonard Hamilton couldn't quite overcome from the start of the season. But, and I think some of their veteran guys were kind of figuring out who they need to be for this team. And I still think some of those guys are figuring it out, but you're seeing some of their young guys figure it out too. And their transfer, Caleb Mills, last night had a great game. John Butler. Where do they find these seven footers? It's like a tree
there you
in
go.
Tallahassee that Leonard Hamilton just, or either that or he's like a radar for them,
they
right?
Just keep plucking them out.
He's like, ooh, I sense a seven footer that is being under recruited in the midst, like just going in to like find this dude like in the middle of nowhere, right? Like, I don't know. I mean, it's probably not the middle of nowhere, but still, like, that's not the point.
Well, it's close to the middle of nowhere. I can tell you
finding this dude, like, and that dude looked like he got stretched out in a stretching machine. It was wild. Once he hits the weight room, like,
yeah,
he's going to be ridiculous because he's already really skilled, great shooter, tough matchup. Like, I mean, but yeah, I mean, they're figuring it out. I will say, with the way they were playing at the end of regulation,
mm-hmm.
I sensed a bit of tightness in the Seminoles, and the way they were running their half court offense against Duke zone, they just looked baffled by it, you know. And I'm like, okay, this is not good for Florida State. Like, this is gonna be one of those losses where they look back and go, oh, they could have had that, especially NCAA tournament time. But they just kept finding, they just kept finding an answer, even in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, all right, well, now Duke's taking control, but nope. Florida State just kept coming back. So I think that's a bigger win for them than it is a loss for Duke, if
that's
that
right.
makes sense. I'm not trying to say
that
it doesn't
makes
matter
perfect
to Duke.
Sense.
I'm just trying to, yeah, like they needed that for NCAA tournament purposes and to kind of get their mojo back a little bit. So, they beat Miami, now they beat Duke. Those are two good wins for them. And I think they now feel like they're back on track because they were worried, I think, even in the program that they were slipping towards not making the tournament. And these guys didn't want to be the guys that let that happen.
Right. We're talking with Lauren Brownlow from WRLSportsFan.com and I'm talking about ACC basketball hoops and just finished talking about the Duke-Florida State matchup from last night. Now let's have a little therapy.
So, Lauren, help me out.
Let's have a little therapy.
Oh, no.
What's going on in Chapel Hill? What can we do to get our mojo back?
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, I started to say an exorcism.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay, I walked into that. Okay.
Maybe a tad dramatic on my part, but it is the first word that came into my mind.
Right.
Wow.
The thing about it is this, right? It's easy to look at a first-year head coach in Hubert Davis and mm-hmm. see two 30-point losses and go, okay, this is on him, mm-hmm. right? I'm trying to be so delicate when I talk about this. I think that this kind of thing for North Carolina, right? These mm-hmm. kind of no-shows, whether it's in a first half or a whole game or whatever you want to say, that is not a new thing. That is a thing that has been going on now for the past couple of years in Chapel Hill. Do I know why? Not really. I don't know why. I'd love to know why, because look, I know that over the years, Roy Williams especially, whenever they would take a loss, you know, even if it was a close-ish loss to a pretty good team, sometimes he would say, like, we need to play harder, have the sense of urgency, yada yada yada. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it would cause people to roll their eyes a bit and say, like, well, what are you saying? Like, you know, every time y'all lose, it's because you didn't try hard enough. It can't be because the other team is better or whatever. I think it's fair to say when you lose by 30 points to a team that lost at home to UCF, you didn't try hard enough.
Right.
Like, that is a fair thing to say for Hubert Davis. And I thought it was interesting last night that in postgame we didn't get Armando Bacot. He will usually speak to us win or lose. Mm-hmm. And he didn't want to, and he looked very visibly frustrated during that game last night, especially in the first half. And Hubert Davis talked about it. He can do whatever he wants, but if there aren't going to be guys in that locker room to kind of be the ones to help carry out that message. And I think we saw this, by the way, it's a common thread in the UNC football season, I think. If there aren't enough guys that are willing to kind of enforce that message within their own group and hold other guys accountable in their own way, then it's not going to matter what Hubert Davis does necessarily. Right now, you could say Hubert Davis had a hand in recruiting a lot of these guys or finding transfers and whatever.
Right.
He certainly did. So, you know, even though this wasn't all happening under his watch, quote unquote, like, it was still a thing that was happening. So I don't know the answer. I think that there is this weird entitlement attitude in Chapel Hill at times, like on this team, where it's like, oh, we can roll the ball out and beat Team X because we're Carolina. And I don't know for the life of me where it comes from, because they keep being proven wrong, and yet here we are.
We're talking with Lauren Brownlow from WRLSportsFan.com. We're talking right now about the UNC loss last night against Miami. And you just spoke about lack of leadership on the court. Mm-hmm. Pam talked about it earlier. Let's hear real quick from Coach Hubert Davis as he tries to tell us why there's a lack of player leadership on the court. And I think he's probably going to tell us all what we really want to know. Don't hear it. Well, anyway. Anyway, Coach Davis,
I think he said he didn't know why.
Exactly.
Right. I don't know.
Exactly. You got it now, DC? Let's see if we can hear it real quick.
You know, in order to be a good team, you have to have leadership. And there has to be somebody outside of me, outside of myself, outside of the coaching staff that has a voice in the locker room, that's amongst the players, that binds us together. I've never seen a good team absent of that. At this moment, we do not have any. And that's something that needs to change, that has to change, and must change. And my hope is that it will change. But at this moment, we do not have any.
We definitely do not.
did y'all hear that directed at who I felt like it was directed towards?
Because
I kind of did. Yeah.
Maybe that's why he didn't put him back in the game.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting, too, that he didn't come to postgame, like I said. Like, he's always talked to us, and he's been great with us, win or lose, usually. You know, sometimes he gets a little grouchy after a loss. That's to be expected, but, like, usually he'll come out and give us some gems. But, you know, although to Bacot's credit, you know, what's he going to say?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is he going to say the same thing he did after Notre Dame?
He's going to say, we got smoke.
He probably told, I wonder if he told their media people, like, literally cut and paste my Notre Dame press conference. Let's keep going.
Right.
You know, like, except for the part about where he said he'd give up the numbers, because he gave up the numbers and they still got the yell. So, you know, I mean, I don't know. I do think Armando Bacot has made so much progress, both like as a player and in his mental game. I mean, we saw him as a freshman. It didn't take a whole lot of adversity for him to kind of, struggle to deal with it, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's hard. Like, college basketball is hard. It's a mental grind. Playing at that level is hard. He was on a bad team his freshman year. But he's made a lot of progress. Last night was the first time I felt like this whole season I've seen him in that kind of mental space. And so maybe it was a little bit directed towards him of like, yeah, hey, man, like maybe you're playing great and having a great year, but we need you to step it up on the leadership front, too.
You know, looking at you just talking about that real quickly, just to close this out. Watching the game early on in the early maybe 6-7 minutes. It didn't seem like he was getting a lot of touches.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't seem like he was engaged.
He looked annoyed.
Yeah, it didn't seem like he was engaged. And, you know, and then it started to show up on the defensive end because what's the young man for Florida State that was knocking threes down?
Sam Wardenberg.
Yes.
Yes.
So
that dude put up a career high.
Yeah, but Bacot wouldn't come. I mean, every time, most of the times if you look at those early threes he was making, it was his guy. He just couldn't, he wouldn't come out on him. And I'm just thinking like, all right.
And another thing Hubert Davis said was that they were prepared for like all, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't executed. And I also thought, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, maybe that also was not a shot at Armando, but a little bit. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing with Armando. Like, he says all of the right things, right? Like, mm-hmm, after games, win or lose. Yeah. But, you know, if that's the way your leader plays in a game like that, how do you expect everybody else to play, you know? And maybe Hubert's looking for just somebody to take the alpha role. Like, maybe Caleb Love, you know, can take that role on and become that kind of leader and whatever. But so far, just nobody's doing it. Nobody's becoming that alpha and just getting in people's faces and saying, like, this isn't going to happen to us.
Do something.
Right.
Don't just get beat. Do something.
And the thing is, don't just get beat by 30. Like, that's the thing. It's like, it's not even just getting beat. Like, you get beat by 15 by Miami. Okay, they were hot shooting. You know, you're not a great defensive team. You had a bad shooting night, whatever. But for them to get crushed like that, like, and twice in the last, like, month, really, right? With Kentucky, too. Oof. And Kentucky is a better team than Miami, but not by a ton. But still, like, if you want to be that caliber of team, you don't get beat by 30.
Not even the least. We're talking with Lauren Brownlow from WRLSportsFan.com. And Brownlow, you are my resident sad Panthers fan, which...
Oh, God.
Are you beyond sad now? I mean, I don't know what state of mind are you in.
It all feels made up to me. I have told you this before.
She said it feels like made up.
It feels like a prank. It's like a prank that someone's pulling on me. I'm like, how is this real? Y'all know what happened yesterday? This almost broke me. The Ben McAdoo stuff is hard enough to swallow, right?
Yeah. Ben McAdoo being offensive coordinator for the Panthers.
That guy that looks like he was wearing a disguise on the sideline. But whatever. Okay. And the players all hated. Cool. That'll be good. But, you know, Pep Hamilton yesterday declined an interview for the offensive coordinator position.
Wow.
You know what Pep Hamilton's current job is? He's the Houston Texans passing game coordinator.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
That dude would rather work with a quarterback whose name sounds like a shopping center down south, Davis Mills, okay?
That's true, actually.
Then he would get a promotion to offensive coordinator because everyone knows what's going on here, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, that is the issue.
Wow.
Everyone knows that there is no point in coming to play for this head coach because he will be fired. Everyone can see this. So why are we doing this? Why is David Tepper doing this? He is a smart man, but it seems he does not understand the concept of sunk cost fallacy, which is like, well, I've gotten this far with this guy. Might as well see it through. So what? So he can continue to ruin your franchise worse than it already is?
Yeah.
Because that's what's going to happen. This is so frustrating to watch unfold.
So Pip, he turned it down?
He didn't even want an interview.
Wow. Man.
Not even an interview, y'all.
Wow.
Like, this is bad. He is the Texans passing game coordinator, and he didn't want an interview.
He's like, don't waste my time.
I'm good. I appreciate it.
Only dude we got interested in that job is Ben McAdoo.
Wow.
Ugh.
Like, how I just, the idea of letting this head coach go through another draft class, I just feel like a lot of damage will be done to this franchise before he is out of here if David Tepper does not act like right now. It doesn't seem like he's going to, but I don't know, maybe this offensive coordinator fiasco will sway him a little bit, because, like, I'm sorry,
nobody wants to work for
interview. Mm-hmm. Right,
nobody
like, why? Because they know you're gonna fire him.
Yeah.
We can all see what's going on here. Mm.
All right, Brownlow. I hated to, you know, bring that up and get, you know, but you gotta rip it off so one day. You gotta rip it off one day, you know, just get it all over with.
Oh, but by the way, it still managed to be worse somehow because the Ben McAdoo news was bad enough. But then I saw that he wanted to bring him in his first year as head coach.
Oh wow.
Like, oh wow.
Yeah. Before he was convinced, like, oh, you should go hire Joe Brady. He wanted to bring that dude in his first year before he's the only dude who'll interview for you. So what does that say?
You know, like, Cam Newton is rolling over. He is laughing
so.
It's two people I know right now on this on this earth is laughing so hard you can hear them a mile away. Teddy Bridgewater and Cam Newton. Mm. They're laughing so hard you can't even think straight. But anyway. All right, Brownlow, as always, it's a pleasure to have you on.
Yes.
It's, you know, great stuff as always.
Thank you.
And look, don't worry. We're going to find some leadership in Chapel Hill if it kills us yet. Don't you worry.
Thank you, Lauren. I got a new word. I've been pranked.
I'm just like.
This did not happen last night.
I'm like, where is the hidden camera?
We did not lose like that.
Where are the hidden cameras?
April Fool's in January.
All right, Brownlow. We appreciate it.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you.